And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, are you with me?
Good morning, Ilan. How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God.
That's good. So we are almost at Tishrei, the high holidays.
That's right. It's very, very close now. We have less than 12 days in it. I always tell people, and I remember seeing it once years and years ago, that these 12 days now between now and Rosh Hashanah represents one of the every month, the 12 months of the year. So
yeah.
We should look into each of our months and rectify and try and see what we can do differently for next year as well. Now, it's interesting. One of the things that we do, we'll talk about Rosh Hashanah soon, but one of the things that we do before Rosh Hashanah, which starts actually this Saturday night,
yeah,
if you're an Ashkenazi, if you're a Sephardi, would have started a month ago, which is the idea of Selichot.
Selichot.
Now,
by the way, that was the song that we heard just before the interview. It's called Adon Selichot.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, it's written in the Midrash that King David was anguished when he prophetically foretold the destruction of the Holy Temple, and when the offerings of the sacrifices were going to stop. And he asked, how will the Jews atone for their sins? And God replied that when suffering will befall the Jews because of their sins, they should gather before me in complete unity. Together they shall confess their sins and recite the order of the Selichot, and I will answer their prayers. So, starting the week before Rosh Hashanah, which there should be a week from when you start Selichot till Rosh Hashanah night, we start saying these special prayers every morning in the morning before we start to pray. And we start, so the first one is going to be Saturday evening at 12:30 a.m. We try and do it around midnight time. And then every day we say this to the cult, which prepares us awakens us up a little bit to sort of get ready that Rosh Hashanah is coming, and Yom Kippur, and this is, you know, we should really, really get in the mood of things. And, you know, there's a story told about the one of these very, very great rabbis, that he was asked that regarding the reason of this custom, why should we say Selichot? What's the purpose of saying Selichot? I mean, why? And he answered, he said, now is no longer the time for words. Now we must translate the words into deeds. In other words, you got to get up earlier in the morning before prayer service. For example, here in Windsor, we have service in the morning at 10:15. So that means I got to get up and start my Selichot at about like 6:30. That means I have to get up earlier. So all these types of things. Now we're really putting the concept, the idea of deed into action, because just to read and everything is not that hard. It's a very easy thing. But when you have to really get up and do it early in the morning, it really shows that we're in the mood and we're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, and I remember in Israel, I lived in an area that most of them were not Ashkenaz, when were sporadic.
Right.
So I remember it was like almost first light of the morning, and people were walking with their tzitzit and talit and heading to the shul for Selichot.
Yes, absolutely. So now is the time. It's like, you know, gives us the opportunity. We really, really got to get inspired. And as everyone knows, the festival of Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the year, is observed for the 2 days, beginning on the first day of Tishrei, and it is as well as the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, and as well as their first actions towards the realization of mankind's role in God's world. As well as Rosh Hashanah emphasizes the special relationship between God and humanity, our dependence upon God as our creator and sustainer, And God depended upon us, each one of us, as the one to make his presence known and felt in his world. And each year on Rosh Hashanah, all inhabitants of the world pass before God like a flock of sheep. And it is decreed in the heavenly court. You know, we say this on Rosh Hashanah, who shall live and who shall die? Who shall be impoverished and who shall be enriched?
Yeah.
Who shall fall and who shall rise? But not only that, this is also the day we proclaim God, King of the Universe. And the Kabbalist in Kabbalah, it teaches us that the continued existence of the universe is really dependent upon the renewal of the divine desire for a world when we accept God's kingship each year on Rosh Hashanah, that we're renewing our so-called vows with God. That
the contract.
Correct. And he is, it's like in marriage. So, renewing our vows with God that he is the king of the universe, we accept him as our king, and that we are going to bring godliness and so on in this world. Now, one of the ideas of what we do or on Rosh Hashanah is the sounding of the shofar, which is the ram's horn, which also represents the trumpet blast of the people when you're having a coronation of their king. You know, when you're bringing in a king, when you're bringing in a leader, it's always the trumpet blast,
yeah,
to welcome them in. That's the same thing as when we're doing the shofar. As well as the cry of the shofar is also a call to repentance. For Rosh Hashanah is not only a time that we're repenting, that we're asking God for forgiveness, but it's also, as I said before, the anniversary of man's first sin and his repentance thereof. Obviously, we're talking about when they ate from the tree of life that they weren't supposed to eat from. And they repented after that. They did a sin and they repented. As well as it serves as the first of the 10 days of repentance, which ends and culminates in the time of Yom Kippur. So we see that as well as the significance of the shofar is also to recall the binding of Isaac, which also occurred on Rosh Hashanah when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. And at the end, there was a ram that was put there by God as a miracle,
yeah,
and he put the ram instead of offering that to God instead of his son. So there is this idea that we have to constantly ask, we're going to be asking God, we're praying to God for life, for health, for prosperity. And when we're going to be in synagogue, when we're going to be in shul, and we're going to listen to the shofar, and all in all, throughout the day of Rosh Hashanah, we're going to hear 100 shofar blasts over the day of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, each day, we're going to be hearing one of those hundred blasts. So it's really a time to be able to reflect and to try and see what can we do to be able to make it a way that we can repent and accept God as a true King and God as our Master. And you know, it's customary that the day before Rosh Hashanah, we do our Tarat Nedarim, which is annulling all of our vows, where we do with at least 3 people, primarily it's good with the 10 people,
yeah,
it is with the 15. And you're asking the court that we've established right here of 10 men or 3 men that please annul any of the vows that I willingly or unwillingly or not even knowingly said throughout the course of the year that I should start the Rosh Hashanah day and I should start my new year on a clean slate. That's why we do Slichot. That's why we prepare ourselves for this awesome, amazing, auspicious day. As well as some of the observances that we do on Yom Kippur, besides sitting in synagogue all day, not all day, not as much as Yom Kippur, but most of the day, is that we eat a piece of apple. We dip it in honey, which is symbolizes our desire for a sweet year, as well as many other people make a lot of other sweet foods. You know, people make, dimit, the carrot dish with a lot of honey and raisins and so on and so forth. Anything that we're eating on that day, we're trying to do something that is going to emphasize and help us have a sweet new year. As well as we eat the head of the fish. The head of the fish, and we say a special prayer, we say a special blessing.
Yeah.
That we should be the head and not the tail.
And not the tail.
And one last thing that we do on Rosh Hashanah is we go to a lake and a river, or to a sea, or a body of water, and we recite the Tashlich prayer, where we symbolically
empty the pocket.
Cast our sins into the water, and we say, as it says in the verse, "You shall cast their sins into the depths of the sea," and we leave all of our shortcomings behind us, thus starting the new year with a clean slate. And that is, we do that as a community. We go to a body of water and we do that. So everything is symbolizing around the idea is that we want to be able to repent of what we have done and come to Rosh Hashanah with a good slate, with a clean slate, that we should be able to ask God, that God should give us a year of happiness, a year of health, a year of, joy from our children. We should only have, as they say in Yiddish, gesund, health. If you have health, you have everything else. And that's one of the prayers that we're going to be praying. And that's one of the ideas that we should always have in our minds when we're doing Rosh Hashanah. With that, I want to wish everyone, we'll talk next week, God willing. Maybe we'll talk more about different customs, and maybe, if we're lucky, if I can get one or two recipes of interesting Rosh Hashanah ideas or something. But we should all be awakened and start our process of getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. And with that, God will inscribe us and give us a healthy, happy, sweet new year.
That's great. And the services at Charei Tzedek?
The services Friday evening, 7:15, as well as Shabbat morning at 9 a.m. And now that we got all the students back, we're buzzing and constantly busy. We had a big welcome back barbecue, meet and greet for students.
It was yesterday, I think.
Was it yesterday? So it was
two nights ago.
And it was amazing. We had a great response. We had over 40 students, Jewish students. So it was a beautiful time that they can meet and see each other. So if there's any students out there that are interested or want to get involved, get a hold of me and we'll get you involved.
That's great. Very good, Rabbi. So I hope to talk with you next week. We'll discuss Rosh Hashanah and the High Holidays again.
Absolutely, and till then, have a wonderful and peaceful week.
Thank you. You too.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.